Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other places people like to listen? Where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% ridiculously easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, which we did here, and I'm telling you, Anchor is one of the best places to do this. Come and join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Inside Fantasy Football from Houston, Texas, with myself, Todd Garza, here to lead you guys through week four results, waiver wire, possible ads for bye week teams, and just waiver wire in general as we go through the games. There's quite a bit to go over this week. A lot is changing in the NFL, and in a good way for fantasy, the numbers are off the charts. Quarterbacks and receivers are putting up insane numbers right now. The thing that is happening with the league right now, the safety for the players, the hard hits over the middle, safeties and cornerbacks are watching how they hit players in open space. Quarterbacks, you can't touch them. It's to the point of they're really having to pay attention to how they touch the quarterback and hit the quarterback on quarterback sacks. And, you know, when the quarterback's out in the open running the ball, it's giving the quarterbacks a ton of confidence. The defensive players are really at a disadvantage right now. And it's showing up in fantasy and in betting and all levels of information that deals with the NFL. We're having to adjust the way we do things a little bit because the rule changes are so drastic and the approaches that the defensive coordinators are having to take to accommodate these rule changes have opened it wide up. The quarterbacks have no fear now. The receivers have no fear going over the middle. They know even if they do take the hit, there's going to be major flags and they're not going to have to take that hit again. It is fun to watch. It's making it for people that think that, you know, we have a pretty good handle on predicting outcomes in the NFL. It's making it a little bit tougher right now. It's showing up in daily as well. Daily fantasy, a lot of things are changing right now because so many people are playing now. And the numbers are all over the place in PPR because of the amount of passing that's happening in the NFL. Quarterbacks are throwing 40, 50, 60 times a game right now. It is wide open. I mean, Andy Dalton looks like Terry Bradshaw right now. I mean, there is no secondaries in the NFL that really has a handle on these rule changes. It's also a mixture of we've got pretty good, talented quarterbacks coming into the league. Young quarterbacks are also, you know, Mahomes is doing things I've honestly never seen. Closest thing I can relate Holmes to is Favre. I mean, there is crazy, crazy stuff happening right now. It's fun to watch. One thing I want to convey to everybody that's listening to this is I don't care if I'm the only podcast. Listen, at this point, the way the state of the NFL and the way things are going in the NFL, you need to be listening to four or five podcasts. You need to put together all the information you're getting from people that actually study this stuff like myself and people that study it to a further extent than myself. Put it all together because we all need to help each other out. This is crazy, the amount of scoring that's going on. The top 15 quarterbacks are putting up, 16 quarterbacks are putting up QB1 numbers. Jared Goff all of a sudden looks like Joe Montana. It's insane what I'm watching every weekend right now in the NFL. I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. I'm a little bit of an old curmudgeon. I miss old defensive running the ball, banging it out football, but I get it. This generation wants flash, and they want excitement, and I'm down with that. It's fun to watch. It makes especially the primetime games have been a blast to watch. Sunday NFL tickets been insane. That crazy hour between 2 and 3, I'm getting whiplash from constantly checking games out, moving around, because there is so much going on and quick scoring happening. I mean, that Bengals-Falcons game, it was just guys running up and down the field. There was zero defense played in that game. It's the wildest thing I've seen in fantasy, and I've been doing this since the writing it down yourself days back in the late 80s. I've seen it all when it comes to fantasy football. This is the beginning of a very wild era. Drafting's going to have to change a little bit. Running backs are getting less and less relevant in the real NFL. We have to adjust in fantasy because there's still two running back spots that we have to deal with every week. Whether it's daily or seasonal, you're having to adjust with the amount of receivers that are scoring tons of points, the amount of quarterbacks that are putting up crazy numbers. Then on the flip side, you've got guys like Russell Wilson, Larry Fitzgerald. What happened? I mean, LeSean McCoy, that old crew of guys that were running fantasy for years is starting to slide out. We've got a new crop coming up. And I had to get that off my back, guys, because it's crazy to watch. It's just there's a lot of things happening that have never happened before in this game. Le'Veon Bell is coming back after week 7. The bye week for the Steelers. That's good news for Bell owners if you held on to him. It was really the only choice you had unless you had a trade for him. For the guys that traded Bell, I hope things went well for you because he's going to come back and he's going to do well because he's Le'Veon Bell. He's going to put up good numbers. So whoever's got their hands on Bell, you're in good hands as of week 8 on. We're going to start with some players I want to go over before we get to the games. I'm going to run to the games really quick today. We've only got an hour like usual, so I'm going to try to get these opening thoughts out of the way quickly. First thing I want to cover is bye week waiver pickups. We got Chicago and Tampa Bay on bye this week. For Chicago, there's a few defenses. I wanted to get to the Chicago issue on the defensive end. If you can, they are one of those few defenses I don't blame you for holding on to, but I usually just deal with it and let the Bears go and pick up. I'm aiming for the Titans in the leagues I have the Bears in. They seem to be on a lot of waiver wires, and the Titans have a great defense, a really, really, really good defense. So they are not a bad pickup, and they're playing Buffalo this week. So two things there, they're playing Buffalo. That's the first thing. They are going to be in Buffalo. They are going to be dealing with some rain, so that should help the defense out as far as amount of points scored. There's going to be a lot of running, keeping the ball conservative, playing right into the Titans' hands. That's a good pickup. If not, just take one of the top streamers. If you've got somebody that you were going to drop anyways, do that, depending on how many guys you've got on bye. The other players for the Bears, Trubisky, I guess he's going to be picked up, not really dealt with as far as dropping this week. He's still only relevant in two quarterback leagues. A little risky in the top 12. He's not a QB1 yet in my eyes. He's going to be just out of the 12 in my rankings. Well, he may even be a little bit lower than that. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, a lot of quarterbacks are scoring a lot of points. Even though Trubisky had a crazy game against a horrible secondary, where he 5-6 touchdowns, whatever he threw, he still is not a top 12 quarterback. He's not going to do that every week. Defenses will watch that game and adjust, and I just don't think Trubisky's a top 12 talent yet. And this year, you've got 16-17. That top 16-17 quarterbacks are producing QB1. He's not quite in that group yet. Howard has been horrible, so if you've got Howard and he's on your bye week, he did you a favor at this point. I don't know what's going on with that, but he has been a huge disappointment. Not saying drop him or anything like that, but definitely a good week to take a break, see what else you got on your bench, go look at the waiver wire. Naeem Hines is a good pickup at running back. Cohen, his teammate, is a good pickup. I think they're going to start using him more. This big blow-up game, I think, showed that if you get him out in space, like people have been saying, use his talent where it works best, and that's out in space, in the flats, trying to work up the sidelines, get him on some bubble screens, whatever you got to do to get him the ball a little bit. You can do that without killing Howard's production as well. I hope they figure that out. Receivers, we'll go as we go through the games, I'll go over some waiver wire pickups for these guys. So we will kind of cover waivers as I cover the 16 games, the 13 or 14 games that played this weekend. But Tampa Bay, you've got Winston coming back. Drop the whole Fitzgerald thing. That's over. The whole Fitzmagic thing lasted a few weeks. It's looking like that's gone. This is going to downgrade a little bit. Godwin, Evans, and DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson has not seemed to have the same connection with Winston that he did with Fitzpatrick. That could change. They do have a new offensive coordinator. We haven't seen Winston under this new offensive coordinator yet. So they're still kind of, if you have any Tampa Bay receivers, it is the bye week. Don't drop any of them yet. You need to wait and see what Winston is going to do with that main three, Evans, Godwin, and DeSean Jackson. They may do well with Winston. You need to wait and see. Evans is still a start every week when he comes back anyways. Godwin and DeSean Jackson need to be on benches. DeSean is at a flex level with Fitz, but we are waiting to see what happens with Winston. We'll talk about them next week for sure. O.J. Howard is out for a few weeks, so Brait, when they come back, now is the time to get Cameron Brait on your bench, the tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Winston loves to use his tight ends, and O.J. Howard's out, so it's going to just be Brait, and he's not going to have to share with any other, whoever, whatever backup tight end they stick in there. It's going to be the Brait show, and Winston loves his tight end, so make a note of it. Cameron Brait needs to be rostered. A lot of people have Burton this week as well. So the tight ends, we'll go over them as we go through the games. But right off the top of my head, Vance McDonald is available on a lot of waiver wires right now. And the Steelers are using him. And they are playing the Atlanta Falcons this week. So you need to be aware that if you've got Burton, you've got O.J. Howard, you need to be looking for Vance McDonald of the Steelers. There's a few other tight ends as we go through the list of games, the recap that I will mention for waiver wire as we go through the games. The players that I'm worried about right now that are at least benchable, if not droppable, mostly benchable. I really wouldn't drop any of these players except for Keenum. Keenum can officially be dropped in all formats. I love Case Keenum. I am a Houston guy, born and raised. Loved him at U of H. The guy is great. He is a backup quarterback, a very, very good backup quarterback. He's in the same category with Nick Foles. Good guys. They're smart. They just don't have the talent level. The game last night with Mahomes showed the difference between a guy that has special talent and a game-managing guy that's just not going to make mistakes, that has enough talent to be on the field but maybe not lead a team week to week. And that's the difference between Mahomes. Mahomes is a future, absolute future star. I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, possible yellow jacket stuff for this Mahomes kid the next 10 years if he keeps at this level. Are the defenses going to adjust? The Broncos showed what you can do to the Chiefs in that first half, first three quarters last night, basically by running the ball. I think the Chiefs realized, hey, they're dropping a ton of people back in coverage. It was giving Mahomes some problems. So they started running Hunt. Denver had to show some respect for Hunt. And once Denver came up and they respected Kareem Hunt, Mahomes blew up, came back, led the comeback. They got stuck between a rock and a hard place. And basically they got to a point where anytime they saw them shifting to a pass defense, they handed it off and vice versa. And they got Denver in that yo-yo and it worked. Good quarterbacks cause those situations because Mahomes is just waiting to strike. And all he needs is that defense to focus on that run game a little bit. Just enough. Just bring those linebackers, that extra corner in, just a few steps. Just in case Kareem does take that draw. Bam. He's got somebody open, a tight end in a corner. Somebody busting down the sideline. Worked like a charm. It was just a great game to watch, by the way. We'll go ahead and start off with that game anyways. It was last night's game, the Chiefs, 27-23 over the Broncos. A blast to watch. Watkins is hurt, hamstring. I would bench him even if he tries to play next week. He is not playable. I would keep him on the bench. Once they get these hamstrings, these speedsters like Watkins, you're in trouble. I would at least bench him. Maybe not drop him. Wait and see what happens. Maybe it's not as bad as we think. Watkins does not need to be in starting lineups next week. He was at a flex level. Hill is still great. Mahomes is number one quarterback every week outside of his bye week going forward. I mean, this kid is special. This generation's Brett Favre already in my head. I mean, and I'm not the only one saying that. I get that, but he is great. Kelce had a pretty good game, got banged up a little bit, but he's still probably the best receiving tight end in the league right now. Conley's going to get a bump up to wide receiver 3 status this week. He might even make my top 40. I'm pretty sure he is on my rankings that I'll do after we get done with this podcast. Conley will get a bump up because of Watkins' injury. Kareem Hunt is still startable every week. Good running back. As for the Broncos, Demaryius Thomas needs to be benched. Do not start him until he shows some kind of life sometime soon. That overthrow to possibly win the game last night at the end of the game, it was a lot of Keenum, and I think it would have been overthrown either way. But I looked at that again, and it looks like Demaryius Thomas gave up on the route. I don't know what's going on with that guy. I've got him in a few leagues myself. He is bench-worthy at this point. Sanders is still startable. They're dealing with a quarterback that is not a volume quarterback. So Sanders is at best a flex level. He has possibility to be a wide receiver too at this point. He might even be in my wide receiver 2 rankings. I got to do those tonight. But he's borderline right now because of Keenum's play. Teams are adjusting to Keenum right now. And in the NFL, they go straight for your weaknesses. And that's what's happening with Case Keenum. Teams are adjusting. I think the Broncos are going to get a rude awakening over signing him at an $18 million a year contract. The two running backs are startable for me. I love Freeman and I love Philip Lindsay. I think they're both great. And Freeman looked really good last night with the power running. Freeman's more of a standard guy. I don't think I would touch Freeman in PPR, but Lindsay can be started in all formats. And I know Howerman, the tight end for the Broncos, got a ton of targets last night. He's still not startable. It's just Sanders and Thomas. Courtland Sutton is making a move on Thomas. I think if I had to choose between the two, I'd almost want to choose Courtland Sutton, the rookie in Denver, over him. But both of them are wide receiver 3 boom or bust at this point. I really would try not to start either. All right, we're going to move on to the Minnesota. We'll go to the start off with a Thursday night game, the Minnesota Vikings and the Rams. It was a barn burner, 38-31, ton of points. If you stacked that Goff, Cooks, Woods, Kupp, Gurley in any kind of way in daily, you probably did pretty good. It would have been expensive, but you probably did pretty good. They are all startable in all formats easily. All 3 receivers, by the way. That's rare. The greatest show on grass is a real thing. This team, with McVay calling the plays, I mean, this wide open offense in LA, it's fun to watch. The Rams are a blast. Vikings, their defense is falling apart, but they were competitive in this game. Cousins put up a ton of fantasy points. Cousins is a top 12 quarterback at this point. Cook and Murray, I wouldn't touch either one of them. I've got Cook as my main back in a few leagues, and I hate to say this, but unless you're forced to start him in one league, I am forced to start Cook or Murray just because I don't have much depth at running back in that league through injuries. Really got hurt with injuries in that league. Sadly, it's my league I actually care about, too. It just drives me insane. But anyways, Cook, unless you have to, start Cook or Murray. If you have one or the other, just you need to wait and see what happens on the report Sunday morning with those guys that are leading up to Sunday. Because they're playing the Eagles next week, and they have a great run defense. I would try not to play any Vikings running backs. Cousins is startable. Rudolph is startable. The defensive backfield for the Eagles is one of the exploitable areas. So your usual suspects at receiver, Diggs, Thielen, are both startable. The defense against the Eagles is startable. The thing about defense right now, there's not much room there to be wrong or right. No defenses at this point in fantasy football, the way things have opened wide up, are scoring a ton. So the top to the bottom, I mean, there's quite a few teams getting negative points at this time. I think the Vikings will do enough to, no matter how high scoring that game could possibly be, I think the Vikings defense should get enough sacks or cause a turnover here and there to get some kind of point. So they are startable going forward. The Lions at the Cowboys is a very exciting game. Honestly, it's two bad teams in my eyes. I really wasn't impressed with either team. Kerryon Johnson still looks great to me. They only got him 10 touches or whatever. I just can't believe it. He is the best back in Detroit. He needs to be getting the rock at least 20 touches a game. Kerryon Johnson's got to get 20 to 25 touches a game. He is flex worthy at this point. He's a hold and wait because I think eventually Patricia and that coaching staff is going to get on to what everybody around them is saying. I know that they're the coaches. They're seeing something we're not seeing. I get that. I know we're not there every day. But I know what I see on Sundays. And what I see on Sundays is Kerryon Johnson's a lot more talented than LeGarrette Blount or any of those other backs they've got in the backfield, Riddick or whoever. Stafford is a boom or bust. He might just be outside my top 12. Again, this week I'll have to go over that later. But Stafford is one of those guys. He's more of a fill-in. He could start every week, but he's a boomer bust guy. He's going to give you a bunch of points here, then he'll have a dud. I think next week we're just going to have to wait and see on him. But Stafford is a startable quarterback. The Golden Tate had a huge week. That trio is still startable to me. I know Marvin Jones is more of just a standard guy, a boomer bust guy in standard. Galladay and Tate are both startable. Galladay, I would lean more towards standard as well, along with Jones. He's on a higher ranking level than Jones is in standard. Tate is startable in all formats, but very much leans towards PPR. He is a great PPR player. The Cowboys, there's not much there other than Zeke. He is a in and out all formats every week running back. He looked great again this weekend. I mean, Zeke Elliott is a beautiful talent to watch. At this point, there are no other starters on offense for the Cowboys that I can request in any format other than Zeke Elliott. Dak is not even in the two quarterback range for me at this point. That passing offense, that wide receiver core is brutal. They have no tight end to speak of. Swain is not very good. The Cowboys right now are 2-2 because of their defense. They have a scrappy defense, a good pass rush. They play the Texans next week. I think Zeke is the only startable offensive talent for the Cowboys. And I think that defense, I don't know if I would start them against the Texans at home. Watson and them open it up. They're going to put up, you know, some numbers. I think that's where the Cowboys defense might run into a little snag there. Do I think the Cowboys are going to score 40? I mean, the Texans, no. But I do think that it's going to be high 20s. You might get some turnovers from Watson. They could be startable in the climate of defenses right now. There's not much there scoring-wise for defenses. So if you're in a desperate situation, Dallas could possibly be startable, and you're basing that on turnovers because they're going to give up points against the Texans. There's no way around it. The Texans run way too fast a pace for that defense without Sean Lee for sure. The Bengals-Falcons was a great game. I can't say great game because there was no defense. It was a fun game to watch. Let's put it that way. 37-36. Dalton is playing amazing right now. He is startable in all formats. Bernard was a great fill-in. He may even get another week out of this. They're talking about possibly sitting Mixon another week. Bernard has been an RB1 and will continue to be unless Mixon comes back. So keep your ears open for that. Boyd had a somewhat of a quiet day, still startable as a wide receiver too. AJ Green, a wide receiver one, startable every week. Eifert broke his ankle. He is out for the season at tight end for the Bengals. At this point, there, John Ross and the rest of the gang there is not startable for the Bengals. But wait and see. With Eifert going out, things may change on the receiving front outside of Boyd and Green. We will keep our eye on that. The Falcons heading to the Steelers next week. Losing this game hurt them. Falcons go to 1-3 with all that talent on offense. The problem is their defense got decimated with injury, and they are horrific. That Steelers-Falcons game, the over-under is insane. I think it's in the 50s. Tons of points are going to be scored. I lean towards the Falcons in that game. I just think they have a little bit more firepower because since there's going to be no defense. Anybody you can play in the Falcons-Steelers matchup next week in any format, PPR, standard, daily, doesn't matter. Try to get those guys in. Neither team has a defense. There are going to be points galore. Julio Jones, Ridley, Tevin Coleman or Freeman, whoever's running the ball for the Falcons. Matt Ryan, Hooper, the tight end for the Falcons, all startable. All startable, absolutely. The Steelers' secondary is atrocious, one of the worst in the league. The Falcons' defenses are non-existent in this game. They should be sitting at the bottom of every waiver wire. Don't touch anything on that end. The Eagles at the Titans. This is one of the better games of the week, and I really enjoyed watching this game. The Titans are 3-1 and for real, by the way. Mariota made his comeback, almost 400 yards of total offense. Deion Lewis outplayed Henry. That's another point I needed to make there. And the coming out party for Corey Davis. And I've got him in a few leagues and been sitting on him, and people have been telling me, what am I wasting my time for? The guy's getting a ton of targets per game. Corey Davis is a borderline wide receiver one just on the amount of targets, the amount of production heading his way. Rishard Matthews left because they made an absolute, it's Corey Davis or bust commitment, and it's paying off right now. He looked really good against the Eagles. Eagles don't have the best secondary, but Corey Davis looked like a pro on Sunday. He won that game for him, the game-winning catch in the end zone from Mariota. Mariota's back from the dead on the waiver wire. If he's on that waiver wire and you've got Trubisky or Fitzpatrick, Winston, whatever combination on the two bye weeks, or you just need a quarterback like I do in a few leagues, I have Russell Wilson. Mariota's not a bad pickup. They're playing the Bills next week. Deion Lewis is still not startable, but needs to be rostered. Henry can possibly be dropped at this point, unless you're in a keeper league. I would keep him on the bench. He's just not fitting in that system right now, and they're winning, so I don't see them. They're still going to give him some short yardage stuff. He's not getting the goal line, the touchdown, the goal line touches we thought. When he is getting goal line touches, he's getting stuffed. The Derrick Henry thing, and I'm a big proponent of Derrick Henry, but right now things aren't looking good. He needs to just sit tight, and you need to sit on him if you can. Wait and see if things change, and they may need him down the road. Let him have some more time adjusting to this system. Corey Davis is really the only startable receiver for the Titans, to be honest with you. I could get into the Tywan Taylor. If you want to give – he's a boom or bust guy. He's more of a daily guy in tournament play, Taylor. He's working his way up, though, because Rishard Matthews did leave the team, did get dropped. So Taylor may get an uptick there at wide receiver for the Titans. We'll see. That defense is startable in all formats. The Eagles, your usual suspects. You got Wentz, Jeffrey, both had a great day. Ertz is always good every week. Goddard needs to be on benches just in case something happens to Ertz or they continue to use him. But Jeffrey's back. That takes away Goddard's ability to stay on a lot of rosters. So if you don't have room for him, and I know we're in bye weeks for the next few weeks, but he's a guy to keep an eye on if you're in a dynasty league, which I am in. I have a few dynasty leagues where I've got Goddard just chilling. Just waiting to see what happens with Ertz. Carson Wentz looks good again. He needs to be starting in all formats. He's a back-end QB1. I don't know what's going on with the back situation. Ajayi has always driven me crazy. Smallwood, Clement. If you can, against this... they're playing the Vikings. The Vikings are kind of iffy on this front now. They're not the defense we thought they were. But I would try to stay away from that Eagles backfield if you can at this point. We need some more information on the next podcast this weekend. We'll go over the Eagles again in the backfield. Blowout of Bears 48, Buccaneers 10. It was ugly from the get-go. Fitzpatrick looked horrible. I knew he was gone at that point. It's almost like Tampa Bay needed this to happen to get Winston back in the game, and he did come in. He didn't look spectacular either. Bears defense looks really good. Trubisky threw a ton of touchdowns. Burton finally got a touchdown, got another touchdown. He was slinging it all over the place against nothing, really. The Buccaneers had nobody in that defensive backfield stopping anything. Great game for Allen Robinson. We won't go over the Bears or the Bucks because they both are off this week. So that game, we'll go over what happened, and that's it. And it was basically a romp by the Bears defense, and Trubisky just really having all the time in the world and making good deep throws. Trubisky might not be as bad as I thought he was. A little impressed with this. This is a 3-1 team, so the Bears are a team to keep an eye on. They may just have to ride that defense all season. Bills at Packers, another a dud of a game. It's pretty boring. The Bills just showed up flat. Packers handled business, 22-0. Going into next week, the Packers, they're playing the Lions. It's a good interdivision game. Aaron Rodgers, the backfield's a little rough right now, but I would lean towards Aaron Jones. I think he's the most talented back. Jamal Williams needs to be just on benches at this point. Davante Adams. Geronimo Allison is dealing with some concussion issues. So is Cobb. So maybe by the next podcast we'll have a clearer picture. On the receiving front, Jimmy Graham's been a little bit rough around the edges. He still needs to be started every week at tight end. The tight end position is almost dead at this point. There are very few tight ends putting up any kind of points at this juncture right now, at this point of the season. So Graham is still startable every week due to the weakness of the position. Hasn't been producing a ton, but none of them have. Only a few tight ends are doing anything. We've turned the NFL into the spread college. It's the strangest thing right now. But I do think NFL defenses will adjust and things will come back down to earth a little bit eventually. I really do believe that. The Bills still have nobody startable on offense in fantasy football at this point. It just sounds weird saying that, but there is nobody over there that I look at and even remotely think you can start against the Titans defense next week. Nobody. Nobody. I'm not even going to try to mention anybody. The Jets got pummeled 31-12 by the Jaguars in Jacksonville. It was a very hot day. The Jets just looked like they didn't have a chance from the get-go. The offense couldn't do anything against that great defense. Jets are almost in Bills territory as far as there's not much there to start outside of a noon one, maybe. Maybe Powell and PPR. That's about it on offense or anything as far as fantasy with the Jets. They are just a dud right now. It's looking like another lottery year for them. They're going to be picking high in the draft again, sadly. I do like Darnold. He's not fantasy relevant, but I do think he's going to get better. He's the youngest quarterback in the league. Give him a year or two. Darnold's going to put them on the map. Jacksonville, Fournette. Hammy issues once again. This guy drives me nuts. All that talent, but he just can't get past the hamstrings. Have surgery already. Get these things fixed. Do something to fix your hamstrings, Leonard. Good Lord. Fournette is just killing people's seasons right and left. Yeldon is a must-own in all formats. He is going to be the bell cow for the next few weeks. He will share with Grant a little bit. Grant is not startable, but if you want to get desperate, you're in a head-to-head or a tournament on daily. Corey Grant at running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars is extremely dirt cheap, bottom of the barrel, and he is a risk-reward guy because Yeldon gets banged up all the time as well, and they're going to mix it up a little bit. Grant might even get the third down looks, so he's going to be involved. He's not off the radar. He's possibly rosterable in PPR, Corey Grant. The receivers for the Jaguars, outside Westbrook is and Cole are rosterable in PPR. They are more fill-ins for me. I wouldn't start either one. And they're the only two receivers that I would have on any fantasy roster. Severin Jenkins is just a fill-in. He needs to just be a waiver wire trending guy from week to week. He does not need to be rostered. Bortles, he still is a two-quarterback league guy. And he's possibly, if you really need a fill-in in a 12-team league, he could possibly do it, Bortles. But I wouldn't request it. He's just too inconsistent. But when he's on, two-quarterback league or super flex, Bortles is fine. So he is startable in those formats. The Dolphins got routed by the Patriots. I don't know what's going on with that Dolphins offense. Kenyon Drake is over. I don't know what to do. Unless you're in a keeper league or you've got a really deep bench, because we're about to deal with, you know, quite a few weeks, 5-6 weeks, whatever it is, of bye weeks. And Kenyon Drake's just going to eat up your roster spot. I do think they may come back around with Kenyon Drake, but you've got to have enough roster space and depth to deal with that. Tannehill is a rosterable bench guy. He just had such a dud of a day. It still worries me about his inconsistency, but he has the talent to put up great numbers at times. So Tannehill, to me, is a streamer quarterback. He's not a top 12 guy, and he really is a borderline two quarterback league guy for me at this point, Ryan Tannehill. Stills, he is rosterable and possibly close to flex in PPR, but Kenny Stills still needs to be, I think, on benches in PPR. Maybe usable in these bye weeks coming up as a fill-in. There's not much to choose from on the receiving core there in Miami. So Stills is still rosterable just because there's not very many options. Patriots, it's your usual suspects. You got Gronk. You've got Sony Michel, who looks like an RB1 going forward because they've just streamed it down to White and Michel. White is also startable at running back, to me, in all formats, but mainly PPR. He is a strong RB2 in PPR, James White. And to me, even in standard, I think he's going to get enough production where he is startable as a flex in standard as well. He's RB2/flex in PPR, a strong one too in PPR. He gets a lot of them passing game. He also runs the ball a little bit with the way they're set up now. I think their offense is ready to go with Edelman coming back. And that's another thing I wanted to add. If he's on the waiver wire, pick up Julian Edelman. If he's been on your bench, get ready to play him because Brady's going to go to him. They need Edelman right now. They need Edelman. Brady is a start week in, week out guy. By the way, I know people are asking me online. I got a bunch of Josh Gordon questions. He is startable against the Colts. I believe he's a boom or bust wide receiver too. In my eyes, I think they may try to use him a little bit. I do believe this Thursday night game against the Colts will be an Edelman show, but they need Josh Gordon stretching the field for Edelman, so I do think they're going to shoot his way a few times, and he's got the talent to catch it. So he's a boomer bust guy for me, but is he startable in maybe a flex spot in any format at this point? Gordon, absolutely. Why not? Risky, though. Risky. If you've got a deep team, don't pull Gordon out of the ashes and take over for one of your main guys that have been scoring for you. We don't know what's going to happen yet. Him and Brady have not connected fluidly yet. We don't know where he's at in the process of adjusting to their system. So if possible, I suggest keeping him on your bench and wait and see if he goes off this Thursday. If he does, there you go. You've got a starter going forward. If you're a guy that needs a win this week and you need a desperation play and your team is not very deep and Gordon is almost a must play because of your depth issues or the bye week or whatever, he's not a bad risky play. Texans Colts, crazy game. And like I've said a million times, I'm a Houston guy. I'm a Texans fan at heart, really an Oilers fan, but transferred to the Texans, long story. It was hard to watch in a lot of ways. The Texans defense did it again, where they just gave up a ton of yards to the Colts and Andrew Luck. 34 points was given up by the Texans, so they don't need to be, you know. And one of the worst calls I have seen, Frank Reich made, the head coach for the Colts. What was it, 40 seconds left? Fourth down? He's in the Texans territory. They're literally 10, 15 yards away from their own field goal range. And he doesn't make it on fourth down, just gives it over to the Texans. They quickly drive down, kick it, and win it. He basically just gave it away. I don't even know what the thinking was. It was a boneheaded play. But the Texans will take it. They needed the win. Watson lit it up. Watson is a start, no matter who they're playing, week in, week out quarterback. He gets rushing yards for you. He throws a lot. He's accurate. He is a must-start in all formats every week, Deshaun Watson. Same goes for DeAndre Hopkins. All formats, every week. Don't even question it. Unless it's an injury, DeAndre Hopkins needs to be started in all formats. Fuller, if Fuller is healthy, he needs to be starting at a flex position in all formats. Fuller and Watson connect very well. Kiki Cutie. I've been mentioning this guy since the first podcast I did this offseason. I did one of the first podcasts I did. I did Deep Sleepers. That was the little list we went over at the beginning of draft season. Everybody's kind of looking for those guys nobody's talking about. He was on that short list for me. He just fits the way Watson and the pace of this offense. He had, I think, was it 13, 14 targets. He had 11 receptions, over 100 yards. His first game. This was his first game. Kiki Cutie needs to be picked up in all formats. Slot receiver for the Texans. Watson and him connected immediately quite a bit in this game. He is a must-add. Kiki Cutie, C-O-U-T-E-E, I believe is how you spell it. Big, big game for him. A must-add. So that's three receivers. Lamar Miller at your own risk, guys. He doesn't give you much, but the running back position's a little weak. If you have to play him, go ahead, but I suggest not to at this point. He just doesn't get much production. If you have no choice, go for it. He's going to get you something. But he just doesn't have the big plays. He doesn't score very many touchdowns. He's just underwhelming, Lamar Miller. And I watch him weekly, pretty regularly. He's not great. He runs right into the backs of the offensive linemen. His vision is not very good. It's hard to watch at times. The Colts, Hilton is iffy. You need to keep an eye on him. Ebron, as long as Doyle is out, even when Doyle comes back, Ebron is possibly startable at tight end because the position is so weak. The only running back I would touch with a 10-foot pole in Indianapolis is Hines in PPR. Luck is startable week in, week out at this point. Seahawks, Cardinals, we'll get through this one quickly. There's not much here. Russell Wilson is benchable in all formats. You can start him against the Rams. They're going to have to be thrown because they're going to be behind. But he is just, that offense is not working right now. Mike Davis is a fluke unless Carson comes back or is hurt next week again. Then Mike Davis is back on the map. He's not a bad pickup for just in case Carson is hurt again. If Carson comes back, Davis is going to slide back down at least to a number two on the depth chart. He is pickupable as a possible handcuff. It looks like Rashad Penny has been passed over at this point. Disley, the tight end, is out. Vinette, the other tight end there in Seattle, is in that number one spot. He is a possible streaming ad for Burton, if you choose. Baldwin is back. He is a good pickup. He's a good flex for me. He will get the higher end of the target share. So I do think Baldwin is addable for sure. If he's probably rostered on most rosters at this point. And he is flex-worthy this week. The Cardinals don't have much other than David Johnson. Christian Kirk is on the radar. Seals Jones is on the radar at tight end. Josh Rosen is a risky two-quarterback league play. Browns, Raiders, it was a great one to watch. Mayfield looked great. He looked good. I can't say great, but I love the kid. He's just a leader there. It hurt watching them give up that lead, but, you know, Mayfield came in and the Browns scored 42 points, so it's not on Mayfield. 45-42 Raiders over the Browns. It was an interesting game, to say the least. For the Browns, Mayfield is startable in two quarterback leagues. He's not quite a QB1 yet. Hyde is a startable RB2. Landry is a startable wide receiver 2. A wide receiver 1 in PPR formats, Jarvis Landry. Callaway is still a risk-reward play for me in all formats. They get him a ton of targets. Eventually, this kid is going to catch on. Him and Mayfield are going to mesh, and Callaway is going to be a player. So he needs to be rostered at the very least on benches and wait and see. Callaway eventually this year is going to step up. Antonio Callaway needs to be rostered. I don't know how many times I got to say that. Does not need to be played, but I still see he's not rostered on a lot of rosters. He's, you know, it's way too high, the percentage of people that do not have him rostered at all in their leagues. He needs to be rostered, Antonio Callaway. Njoku can be benched at this point. We're coming back to this tight end issue where it's very weak. He's a bottom of the tight end 1 category, maybe borderline tight end 2, just out of that top 12. They just can't seem to get him the ball in this offense. I do have faith that if you have him on a roster, try to hold on to him or let him be a fill-in for Burton this week. I do think Mayfield may bring him back to life. It's a wait and see situation there for Mayfield, but I do think Baker Mayfield will bring Njoku back to life. I really do think that. The Raiders, there's Lynch, David Carr in two quarterback leagues, like I say every week, because that's really what – he's just not a top 12 quarterback, but he has enough talent to score you some points in a super flex or two quarterback league. Marshawn Lynch is an RB2 startable. Jordy Nelson's climbing the chart for me. He's still a boomer flex wide receiver, 3 or 4, a boomer bust guy, Jordy Nelson, but he is climbing the charts a little bit. Amari Cooper had another big game, and just like me in a few leagues, a lot of people had him benched. He's one of those guys, if you don't have a ton of depth, just put him at your flex and let him sit there and ride it out. Some weeks he's going to hurt you. Some weeks he's going to help you. If you do have a deep enough team, what do you want me to say? I can't predict the future. This guy, it looks like after this last showing that they're kind of getting something going here. If I had a gun to my head, I would say go ahead and start Cooper next week at a flex. Wide receiver too, if you're weak enough. So Cooper's startable. Cook is a tight end one. He needs to be started in all formats. Jared Cook. All right, the Saints and the Giants. That was a pretty good game. 33-18. Breeze and Thomas let everybody down. It was more of a conservative show. It was the Alvin Kamara show is what it was. He is just an RB1 in all formats at all times. Alvin Kamara was great in this game. Of course, going forward, usual suspects, Breeze, Thomas, Kamara. Ben Watson is a streamable tight end. The Giants had a pretty boring game, not much to go there. Barkley, Saquon is startable in all formats every week still. Evan Ingram's out. If you need a tight end filler for Burton, Ellison is a good fill-in. OBJ's had a rough go of it lately, but he is still startable in every format, every week, no matter the opponent. Odell Beckham Jr. is a wide receiver one in my eyes, no matter what the issue is. Sterling Shepard had another good game. He needs to be rostered in all formats. Sterling Shepard is the real deal right now. He's putting up numbers that are passing OBJ in certain games right now. He needs to be rostered. As I'm saying that, I'm realizing I have him on my bench in a few leagues, and he may slide into a starting role for me if he continues down this road. Sterling Shepard. 49ers, Chargers, pretty good game. Turned out the Niners were right there with him with Beathard, and Chargers are a very good team, and the Niners really, without Garoppolo, with Beathard at quarterback, Beathard and Kittle, that whole Iowa connection thing really worked in this game. Both had great games. Chargers, it's your usual suspects. They did pull it out. They had a rough game defensively, but they pulled it out. 29-27. Rivers, Gordon, Keenan Allen, definite starts. Eckler, Mike Williams, start at your own risk, but startable at flex. Both are boom or bust. Risk-reward flex options, Mike Williams and Eckler. For the Niners, Breida is a startable flex. Kittle is a tight end one. Beathard is a boom or bust two quarterback league or super flex guy. I really would try to stay away from Beathard. I think most people agree with that. He just needs to not even be rostered at this point, but he did look okay on Sunday. So they put on the radar, but the quarterback position is too deep for me to even be mentioning Beathard at this point. Garcon and Beathard do work well together. Garcon is sliding into that wide receiver three area again, just on volume. So Garcon is the only wide receiver. Goodwin is not mentionable at this point. I would only roster at the wide receiver position at this point. Taylor and Goodwin are on the fringes of being dropped, if not just deep on benches at this point, to see if things kind of level out and Beathard can get the ball to him. Right now, he's leaning a lot towards Garcon and Kittle. Warner, middle linebacker for the Niners, is a great IDP, by the way. James, safety, I think it's Kerwin James. James, the safety for the Chargers, rookie, is a great IDP as well. Ravens at the Steelers. That was an interesting game. Ravens really put it on them. They just handled the Steelers very well. Ravens look like a possible high-end playoff team. Like, they really have a chance to go deep in that AFC, possibly Ravens Chiefs in that AFC championship this year. They look that good. The Ravens do. They don't have very many weaknesses right now. The only position that they're struggling a little bit in is running back, but between Allen and Collins, they'll figure it out. Collins just needs to quit fumbling the ball. Flacco's looked great. Ever since this whole Lamar Jackson thing, drafting him last year, coming into this year, Joe Flacco has really been razor sharp. Flacco is definitely startable in two quarterback leagues. He is working his way up to QB1 status eventually, but at this point, he's in that top 20. Just on volume, they throw the ball quite a bit there in Baltimore. John Brown is a startable wide receiver, too, in all formats. Crabtree is faded. Crabtree is fading towards benchable material weekly at this point. If you're desperate, he's a wide receiver, 4, boom or bust, but I would lean more towards a possible flex. If at best, I just, at this point, if you're deep enough, I would not play Crabtree if you don't have to. I know we're getting into bye weeks. If you have to, he's a good fill-in type guy at this point. I just haven't. He looks slower. He's not really connecting well. John Brown's just blowing him out of the water as far as the go-to guy there. The tight ends, they use all 3 of their tight ends, whoever's on the roster at that point. I know Hurst is coming back, however that works out. They spread it too much for me. There's really no tight end of fantasy relevance at this point just because of the way Flacco spreads it around. Buck Allen is a very, very deep running back 4 flex guy, but he does get the goal line carries there, and he does get some work in the third down, get some catches in PPR. So Buck Allen is on the radar. I still would put him a little bit lower than Collins, but Collins is a deep running back 4-3 at this, maybe the top 30 for me, Collins. It's getting pretty rough there with him fumbling. I think he's in the doghouse continuously there with Harbaugh. It's tough to watch for Collins because you know he's got the talent. Hold on to the ball. Hold on to the ball. Steelers, first thing that pops out at me every time I look at that, just their emblem. I mean, I can't get past how bad their secondary is right now. Teams are just throwing the ball like crazy on them. That's why next week, any Falcons passing game player needs to be rostered and played in all formats. This Steelers D is that bad at this point. But playable fantasy guys, it's your usual suspects. They are going to be at home. The Falcons have no defense as well. So I do think the Steelers are going to put up 30-plus as well. You're looking at Roethlisberger. Connor as a deeper play. I think he's been struggling lately, but the Falcons are that bad. So Connor is startable. Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, startable. Vance McDonald, a great streamer for Burton. We're going to move on to the last game on the slate, which is last night's game. I went over it earlier quite a bit and all the players in it. It was a great win for the Chiefs. Mahomes is the future, guys. Mahomes is the future. For sure. I mean, last night, I know everybody saw what I saw. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But trust me, I've been watching this game long enough to know he's doing things I've never seen. I've never seen anybody like that can throw on the run across their body like this kid. Favre was the closest, but he wasn't quite the athlete that Mahomes is. I think Mahomes is a little bit more athletic, a little bit stronger armed Brett Favre. And that is a gigantic statement. This kid's only a few games in, too. I feel bad that I'm even saying that. But that's what he looks like right now to me. Let's wait and see once he deals with defenses adjusting to him, once he deals with his first injury. Let's kind of see how it plays out. You don't know what's going to happen in the NFL. But right now, the trajectory of this Patrick Mahomes kid is just insane. I mean, I love watching him. As soon as I see him on the TV, I'm leaving it there. He's got the it factor. He's got the talent level, off the charts talent level. He's playing the most important quarterback in all of, I mean, most important position, I think, in all of sports. Most difficult, at the very least, quarterback position. And doing it very well, making it look easy. Love the kid. He is the future. I want to go over a few guys before we get this done and over with. You need to stick with Andrew Luck. He looked great last week. I know some people had him benched. All this talk of him not having arm strength and all that crap needs to be thrown out. Andrew Luck is Andrew Luck, and he's back, and he's healthy. Play him. Even against New England, I'm a little worried about him on Thursday night in New England. He just came off throwing the ball 60-something times at Houston. If you didn't play him this week, I wouldn't blame you. Play him at your own risk this week. But if you're in a situation where you don't have much depth at quarterback, Luck is a startable guy week in, week out. Andy Dalton is a startable guy week in, week out. I know it sounds weird. The last few years, Dalton has been off the radar. With the way this new offensive coordinator's got things set up in Cincinnati, it's a wide-open offense. They're using everything the way they should. Finally, in that Cincinnati system, which has driven me crazy for a decade, they usually don't use their parts right in Cincy. This year, they finally got it. Dalton is running that offense very well, spreading it around. Boyd, Green, and Bernard are really receiving a lot of accolades from this guy. I think Dalton is running the offense well. He is a startable every week and week out guy. At this point, now, Dalton is a guy that has caved and will make me eat my words, but at this point, from what I've seen with my own eyes, Dalton is playing QB1 territory level football. Marcus Mariota, he's on most people's waiver wires right now. I'm running out and getting him in a lot of leagues, at least as depth, because we've got bye weeks coming up. I got Drew Brees in a bunch of leagues, his bye week's coming up. Mariota's on that waiver wire. He looks like he's getting feeling back in those fingers. He had threw for over 300 yards. He's running well. He looks healthy all of a sudden. Once they got past this little health scare that they ate it for a couple weeks and pulled out some, you know, freaky wins, it's paying off because now Mariota's come back. He's got his number one guy in Davis. Taylor's not a bad secondary option there, receiver. The Titans are looking good around Mariota. He's got a good defense to rely on. I think his fantasy relevance is coming back. If you're going to run out and start him, this week is not a bad idea. They are playing Buffalo in Buffalo. Mariota might be a little risky since he's on the road. The weather's not going to be great. But I'm going to play him in a few leagues, and I definitely might play him in daily because I think he's going to be affordable. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this podcast. I just want to let everybody know you can get in touch with me. Continue. I know the numbers have gone down recently. Once you get in the season, everybody gets into the grind. Everybody's out of that draft mode. The interest fades a little bit. But listen to me when I tell you, you need to hear multiple opinions. Put me on the podcast list. Continue throwing me the emails, and I will answer the best of my ability. We all need to get all the facts together from multiple areas to make the decisions we need to make week to week in this fantasy season. It's going to be a wild ride this year, guys. I can tell. And we're going to all need each other at this point because this is going to be a crazy ride in fantasy this year. The game is changing with the NFL changing the way it's playing, opening everything up to make it more exciting to watch. Fantasy should blow up as well. And I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited to help you guys. Todd's Fantasy Picks at gmail.com, toddsfantasypicks@gmail.com, or you can check out the website with rankings. I also have there on the front page some stacks for daily and try to give you some advice on that front. I still don't talk too much daily on the podcast. I'm not getting a ton of daily fantasy questions. It still is tending to be a lot of season-long and just player-relevant questions, not technically daily. I try to throw some daily info in there as well. But if you have any questions for daily, don't hesitate to ask. Once again, guys, thanks for listening. I'll hit you back up after the Thursday night game this week. Good luck on everything, and I'll hit you up later. Talk to you guys later. Bye.